Hallelujah. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we give you the glory for our fathers. Lord, I wish every father was mimicked you and imitated you, but Lord, we know they don't. And we know we're human and we make mistakes. But Lord, this day has been set aside to honor the men in our lives. And Lord, we give you all the glory and praise for them. Lord, teach us where we're without, Lord God, without knowledge. Lord, teach us. And Lord God, create in us a heart or spirit to follow you. And Lord, I just praise you. I just praise you. I thank you for my family, my children, Lord God, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, Lord. We just praise you. Lord, thank you for being part of our lives. Thank you for all you do, Lord Jesus. We praise you, praise you, and praise you again. Lord, do a work in our spirits today. Just open us up to hear your word. And I thank you and I praise you for your greatness, for your glory, for your hand on us, Lord, and for the love in this body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to the men around here. And on this special occasion, I want to share a little story with you. A young father-to-be was pacing back and forth, wringing his hands in the hospital corridor while his wife was in labor. Now, this is an old story because they don't do this anymore, right? They're right in there suffering. This man was tied up in knots of fear and anxiety, and beads of perspiration were popping out all over his brow, and he was in agony over the suffering. Finally, at 4 o'clock in the morning, a nurse popped out of the door and said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." His hands dropped to his sides. They became limp, and he said, "Oh, how I thank God it's a girl. She'll never have to go through this awful agony I've had to go through tonight." Oh, dear. Hallelujah. I remember those days. I think Joy, I think they said, "You could go in the labor room." I said, "No, thank you." I know it's tough being a father, and I just want to honor the men today. I want to speak to those who are blessed with such a great privilege of being a father. There's not many here today, but I think through the recording, many people will hear this message, and I'm thankful for that. And as usual, I want to look at things from a little different perspective, and actually I want to address not only fathers but men in general, and you ladies can listen in too, because there'll probably be some nuggets in there for you. And even though this is a day that fathers usually receive some sort of gift, I want to speak about the gift fathers can give. They can give a very precious gift, a gift for their children, but it may actually help the fathers even more than they think. All of us realize that it can be very difficult to be a man in today's world. There are a lot of mixed messages that we hear, but I believe the number one reason for the struggle is that we are still influenced by the way men were raised in generations of the past. Let's face it, the days of Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best are long gone. They've disappeared. Today, men go places, they do things, they dress, they act, they think in ways that they never would have when I was a kid. When I was a boy, before the Beatles, it's not likely that you would have seen many men with long hair, especially tied in a ponytail and wearing an earring. I even remember a TV show where they made fun of a young man that had an earring. But that description of some of today's men is not calling them out to be sissies. After all, Steven Seagal is rated one of the top action heroes of our day, and he's no sissy, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not speaking negatively about these changes or additions to our appearance. My point is this, times have changed, but still some of our actions, our reactions, and our behaviors have not. Like I said, men are different today in many ways, and most of us can make a list of the changes that we've seen, the ones that over the past generations, and not just negative changes, but many positive changes as well. But in spite of the good we see, there are some things concerning today's modern men that have changed very little. It has been said that almost any man can father a child, but only special ones can be a dad. And I want to declare this morning that genuine dads are very unique and special people. Now, amen. Now, I've had many heroes over the years. The Lone Ranger, Superman, John Wayne, for sure, amen. Second baseman Freddie Hatfield, just to name a few. They've been my heroes, but my first hero and was and always will be my dad. My dad. These messages are always terrible. They're hard to preach. When I faced those critical times as a youngster, none of my other heroes showed up. But my dad showed up. He couldn't leap tall buildings with a single bound. He was only 5'3" tall. And he couldn't shoot 37 shots from a six-shooter without reloading. But I guarantee my dad was always there, and he was always caring for his family. I wish we could spend some time just reminiscing about some of the activities, the wonderful things our fathers said and did. And yet there's a behavior or a commonality, for the most part, that has been handed down throughout the years, right down to the men of today. It is something that may be the greatest disservice to men of today and future generations. Men have been taught and are still being taught that they should refrain from showing any tender affection or emotion or anything that would be interpreted as a weakness. Men must appear to be proud, strong, and tough. Amen? Amen. You can put old dad away there. I was raised in a generation that seldom showed men with any open affection for their wives or family. I remember my dad giving my mom a peck on the cheek when he was about to leave for work, but I never remember him saying, "I love you." They never held hands in public. I can't remember seeing flowers or a gift without it being a birthday or a Christmas. More importantly, I don't recall them ever talking about matters that went beyond surface things like bills or the weather or the latest crisis in the news or Jerry needing new blue jeans again. My dad didn't share his hurts and fears. He didn't even share his feelings about life, his family, or his God. The only time I witnessed my dad cry was when he was doubled up on the floor with a kidney stone. Now, I know my father wasn't a cold, hard-hearted creature with no feelings at all. He was a very sensitive, caring man, Christian man, and he was no different in most ways than any of us, and he was, after all, my hero. But he was never taught to need for intimacy in relationships. And if you all knew my grandfather, you'd know why. When my dad's family moved to Michigan, my dad was left behind to finish the school year, and then he hitchhiked from Gainesville, Texas to Muskegon, Michigan, about 1,200 miles, when he was 16 years old. A bus ticket would have been nice. My grandfather... Well, before I go there, I did want to say that I don't remember him saying where he lived while he finished school. I can only speculate. My grandfather was the type of man whose entertainment would be to team up with a group of men from town, get liquored up, and fight the men of the circus, who did nothing more than come into town to entertain them. And fight they did. That was my grandfather, all 5 foot, 120 pounds of him. And he was the baddest of them all. At least he would try to be the baddest of them all. Today's men have come quite a way since then. But yet, in the matters of the heart, there has been too little change in the average household. I've come to believe that one of the most important things that a man can give to his child is to show them a godly example concerning intimate relationships. And of course, first and foremost would be a father to express his personal intimate relationship with God. And please hear me. The reason a relationship with God is so important is because it sets the stage for all other successful relationships. Amen. A pastor passed out a piece of paper to his church that asked two questions. Is that thunder or is that my microphone? Number one, what is a father or dad? And number two, the question he asked was, what does your father or dad mean to you? Several people responded, and I'm going to let their responses help me preach my sermon today. Let me begin by reading something to you by Martha Bolton, and it's entitled, What is Fatherhood? Fatherhood is getting to go anywhere you want for Father's Day, getting to drive there, and even getting to pay the bill. It's getting up in the middle of the night to see what the noise was outside, when you'd really rather stay in bed and hide like everyone else. It's the best excuse in the world to buy all those toys you wanted as a child and never got. It's catching yourself watching cartoons when no one else is at home and enjoying them. Amen. It's biting your tongue and remembering to be a good example when someone cuts you off on the highway. It's playing Santa Claus at midnight on Christmas Eve, then paying for the privilege at 22% interest for 36 consecutive months. It's assembling toys that require one screwdriver and a nuclear physicist to assemble. It's praying for, hoping for, and anxiously looking forward to the day when your kids will be out of the house and on their own. And then trying to postpone that day as long as possible when it approaches. It's carrying sleepy kids into the house when you're too tired to even carry yourself in. Yes, fatherhood is sometimes a thankless job of fixing kites, breaking up fights, wiping up chocolate milk. It's dental bills, broken arms, and skateboards. But today, Dad, we want to say we appreciate you and all you do. Amen. Amen? Give the men a hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, Luke makes this statement, and he's talking about John the Baptist. He says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. One of John the Baptist's responsibilities from Father God was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. If ever there was a time when the hearts of the fathers needed to turn back to the children, it is now. Just look at the deterioration of our family unit in our nation. During this COVID crisis, domestic violence was up 40%. That's an increase of 40% over an already mind-boggling problem. We have heard it said that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that controls the world. And we know that phrase refers to mothers. But do you suppose that our world could be in this critical condition because of the absence of fathers? Their lack of involvement, their lack of instruction, their lack of commitment, and their lack of role modeling. These fathers have failed to turn their hearts toward their children. Children are desperate for the fathers to embrace them and tell them how much they're cherished and loved. But most fathers simply ignore the needs of the kids. Many have never even shown their emotions in front of children. Most dads consider it mom's responsibility to hug and to cuddle. And too many fathers are always working or gone on lengthy business trips. Still others find excuses to stay away from home, or they walk out on their family altogether. Most dads have never taken their children to church or led their children in prayer. Perhaps they've never prayed for them at all. Countless fathers have time for everything in the world, but never have time for their children. Now, let me share with you some of the answers this pastor received when he asked, what is a father or dad? One woman said, a person that loves and takes care of you. Another responded, a father is someone who cares about you. They spend time with you and love you. But most importantly, a father should live a life as an example for a child. One answer was very simple, a very special person in your life. Another said, a dad is someone who loves you no matter what, who takes care of you, who provides for you, who spends time with you, and even though he'd rather be doing something else. And they go on. A father is someone you look up to no matter how tall you grow. He is supposed to set the godly example before his children. A dad is someone who loves you, takes care of you, and supports you no matter what. And a dad is a male role model who is always there, not only in the good times, but the bad times as well. He is someone who loves you with all his heart and would do anything to make you happy. That's what people thought a father should be. In Old Testament times, the father commanded a high position in the family. His word was law. The Hebrew word translated into English for husband literally means lord, master, owner, or possessor. Some men try to get away with that today, but I don't imagine it goes very far. Now, because an Old Testament husband had this position, shared to some degree by the wife, he expected to be treated like royalty by the rest of his family. And the fifth commandment carries the idea of the importance of the parents one step further when it states, honor your father and your mother. The word honor there refers to one's response to God. In other words, this commandment suggests that the parents should receive the recognition from their children similar to that given to God. Wow. Would that change things? However, with the honor of the position as head of the family, the father was expected to automatically assume certain responsibilities. These responsibilities could be classified into three categories: spiritual, social, and economic. First of all, the father was responsible for the spiritual well-being of the family, including all the individual members of the family. In the earliest ages, the father functioned as the priest of his family, even making sacrifices on their behalf. Later, when the priesthood was established in Israel and the layman no longer functioned at the altar, the father's spiritual role was redefined, but he continued to be the religious leader in the home. This involved training the children in godliness. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The New Living Translation puts it this way, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Socially, the father's responsibility was to see that no one took advantage of any member of the family. Those who were not protected by a father were truly disadvantaged people, and the same today. There were four specific duties that a father had to his son. This is stated in Jewish writings. He had four specific duties. He had to have the son circumcised, to pass on his inheritance to his firstborn son, to find his son a wife, and to teach him a trade. Four different duties. Economically, the father was to provide for the needs of the various members of the family. And from time to time, a lazy person within the community would fail to provide for his family. And if that occurred, then the conscientious men of the community would mock that lazy man, shaming him into doing what was expected of him. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. The Apostle Paul rebuked those who considered themselves Christian, but did nothing to look after the needs of their family. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Dad, according to God's word, you have a spiritual responsibility, a social responsibility, and an economic responsibility to your family. Our world needs some Old Testament fathers who will provide, protect, encourage, defend, guide, and teach their children through godly wisdom and godly example. But we can't stop there. The Holy Spirit has come. And the Holy Spirit teaches men how to love, have joy, demonstrate peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, to be faithful and gentle, and to control their behavior. As Christian men, we can still have that warrior spirit, but sometimes we need it. But we must first be submitted to the Holy Spirit to be the total man God intended. Now let me share with you the tributes to the Father of those who responded to the pastor's question, "What does your father or dad mean to you?" One woman said, "He takes good care of me. If I want something, he will get it for me, and he comforts me." Another remarked, "My dad is my friend. He is someone who I joke with and love." And another, "He is a special person." One answered, "My dad is deceased, but I remember how much he loved not only me, but all of his other children. He did not always say it in words, but by his actions. He took care of and protected and provided for us in good times and in bad times." Another's response, "My dad means the world to me. He loves me and supports me. My dad has set the example in the way before me. He is a Christian, and I will always look up to my dad." Then another, "My father means the world to me. I love him very much." And finally, "My dad means everything to me. I'm his little girl who enjoys spending time with him, especially when fishing. I appreciate that I have a dad because my dad basically grew up without one. I wouldn't trade my dad for anything in this world. My dad is a great role model and a very good person to look up to." Now, I am sure those dads had no idea that those people had such feelings for them. And I know every father in this room hopes that he's leaving a legacy similar to the answers to that question. And with God's help, Dad, you can leave some of that macho image behind and love your children and perhaps your grandchildren in a way that pleases and honors your Heavenly Father. Now, I want to close with a poem entitled, "Our Dad." God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, The generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Guys, with all this going on in us, we certainly are too busy to continue focusing only on the traditions of the past. Let me put it in another way, the way you were raised. Men, love God, and love the people He has given you. Don't be afraid to show it. Don't be afraid to show it. Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to take these simple words and just apply them to our lives, Lord. Let us be better today than we were yesterday. Let us be more like you today than we were yesterday. Let us strive to be more like you today than we were yesterday. Lord, we still have lots of things to learn. I ask you to teach us how to openly love people. Lord, men form opinions real quick of people. Lord, it's one of our traits that have been handed down. But Lord, we want to love people. That's the mission you've given us. To love them where they are. And I just ask you to teach us, Lord, to train us, to change us this year. Before next year comes, Lord, let us be a changed man for you. And we give you thanks for today. Bless the families as they come together, Lord. Bless the families today. And Lord, thank you for putting a great father in my life, in the life of so many. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Protect us and keep us, Lord. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got a present for the guys as they go out.